Hey there, this is Julie from Blended Life. Thank you for taking the time to download this episode of our podcast. I hope you find value in it. The truth is, though, sometimes you need more than a podcast can offer to get unstuck and find peace in your blended family life. The struggle is real. So this is a personal journey I've been on for years, seeking peace in circumstances and with people I can't control. Becoming Heard was born out of this quest. As a certified life and health coach, I am passionate about helping others just like you and me free themselves from chronic upset and chronic crisis mode. Right now, I'm offering Blended Life listeners a one-on-one free breakthrough session with me. This call will give you clarity to see if coaching is right for you. Take advantage of this opportunity now by emailing me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I can't wait to connect with you.
Hey everyone, I'm Eric. This is my wife, Julie. We are The Blended Life.
Hey you guys, on today's episode, we are taking your questions. We're talking about co-parenting. We are talking about secrets. We are talking about feeling alone and isolated when you are trying to blend a family and when to know if it's time to throw in the towel. Enjoy this episode, you guys.
Hey there, welcome back to another episode. Where are we starting today?
Well, we're answering some of our listeners' questions and addressing some of their situations, so let's just jump right in. We talked a few weeks ago about secrets between the homes, and So we got another question about that we can address here. So this person says, what I'm dealing with is things in the other home, like that the other home is keeping things from them.
What kind of things? Like, what do you mean by other things?
She just says keeping things from us, things that affect the child. And then she says it's also hard. I'm assuming she's a step-parent in the situation. So the other household is keeping things, you know, that goes on in their home and with the child, like that child is keeping secrets or not allowed to come share them, and so things are being held secretive in the other home. Does this make sense?
I think so, yeah.
And then she also goes on and says that the bio parents have secrets or things they're not willing to share.
So like with her spouse or whatever?
The two bio parents.
Okay.
So her spouse and then the bio mom.
Okay.
Have things that they're withholding from the child.
Okay.
Information that they're not sharing with the child, but that she's privy to. So now she feels like she's having to keep a secret, too, from her stepchild.
From the kids, yeah. Okay.
And she said it creates a lot of stress. Hmm. So there's a twofold here. It's that the other home is holding information from their home, which I think is pretty normal.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's rare that both parents, co-parents, you know, and both co-parented homes, like, just get along great.
Well, it's rare that both homes have an open door policy with what goes on behind their closed doors. You know, I mean, it's rare that I think it's pretty normal not to want to share certain things between homes.
Right. Okay.
And right? Like, isn't that pretty normal?
Yeah. I mean, in all of our experience.
And then what do you think about, though, when the bio parents have shared secrets is kind of an interesting, I don't know if I like that word secrets, but the bio parents are keeping information from the child, their child, and the step parent.
Give me an example though. Like what type of information? Like even if you have to make it up, like,
okay,
let me understand this because I'm like, okay, well, you know, I don't know. Like what do you mean?
What comes to mind is like, why did our marriage end?
Oh,
something okay. Like, you know, that maybe the child's too young to know.
Okay.
Or maybe it's financial situations that they don't want the child to have the burden of knowing. Or maybe it's health. You know, maybe it's a health condition someone's dealing with that, again, they don't want to burden the child with, or maybe it's a potential move that's coming up.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Or, you know, and then something. And then this becomes a problem because the kid would like answers or is struggling with something. And it absolutely makes sense to the parents because they understand why things are going on, but the kid has no idea.
Right. Or the step parents looking at it like, if the kid only knew the truth.
Okay.
You know, like, it's because this is who, like, the step parent is writing in the situation. So she's like, I have to hold this information too, which is stressful because now I'm holding a secret from this child and that doesn't feel good.
Right. Yeah. Secrets, I mean, I don't know. Secrets generally don't ever, like, feel incredible to have to keep.
Yeah. And I think there's two things that we could address here with the step parent involved. One thing that you have to do if you're a step parent in this sort of situation and you're not okay with it is then you need to hold boundaries for yourself. So maybe you don't want to know all the information. Maybe you're like, if you're not willing to tell your child, don't tell me.
That complicates things, though, I feel like. You know, that makes it hard because then all of a sudden you're taking yourself out of a big equation of the relationship. You know, that's like, we want open door within our relationship. We want open policy. We want to be able to discuss everything together. But it's that secret piece that complicates things. So going down that route also, I think, creates another just huge hurdle. You know, okay, well, now I'm not hearing half the things. Now I'm not privy to half the stuff that's going on or a lot of the stuff that's going on, you know, and I feel in the dark. So now you're an outside source now.
Yeah. And I think it does break down intimacy in a marriage, especially when you're not allowed to share with your spouse because they've put a boundary up for themselves. I do recognize that doesn't feel good for you. I mean, now I can't share with my partner things that I need to get off my chest, or it blocks a source of intimacy.
It also blocks a source of information that is a piece of the puzzle, that if you don't understand that whole puzzle, if you can't see the whole picture, then now a lot of things don't add up and a lot of things don't make sense. And a lot of people will look at that as, they're keeping secrets from me now, even though it's your boundary.
Even though you want them to, it
turns into a secret.
Yeah. The thing is, though, if there's something going on that you can't handle, you know, you have to look at the options at hand. You know, the options that she can do is create a boundary, which there's a consequence to everything. You don't do anything in life. You don't make any decision in life without there being consequence, whether it's great, bad, you know, whatever. So you have to look, though, if this is something that's tormenting you and something that you can't handle, what are your options? One is stop being available for secrets. Two, leave the relationship. You know what I mean? Like, these are things.
You're just going all in.
Three, accept it, right? Like, stop trying to take responsibility or ownership for information that isn't yours. You know, or you could say, I'm going to share this. If my stepchild ever comes to me and asks me a straight out question, I have to honor my values and be honest. So I'm just letting you know that's how I roll. I think you have to figure out what you can control in this situation, how you can be at peace with yourself and still stay in relationship if this is a relationship you want to stay in. But what would you say to this stepmom who has a problem with this? Like, how should she go around about dealing with this if this is something that feels so stressful to her?
I think that the reason a lot of the stress is there is, again, it's because everything isn't adding up to create a warm, fuzzy picture. Like, there needs to be more information. There needs to be more communication. I think from what I'm hearing, it sounds like she's having to keep a secret. Well, and that doesn't feel good. Well, figure out why you need to keep the secret. Like, what's the reason we have to keep the secret? You know, I think once you debunk all the problems and you figure out the whys, it might now start to feel better. It also, if the whys don't add up, it might open up the other parent, her husband, to seeing like, oh, this isn't as big of a deal for keeping a secret like this, you know?
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day with step-parents, and this is something we talked about ad nauseum here, but I think at some point you just have to trust that the bio parents are going to do what's in the best interest of the child to the best of their ability. And these children are theirs. And yeah. I think you have to just, at the end of the day, don't be stressed. Choose to trust your spouse and his or her reasoning over the information being withheld from the child.
Yeah, like, but also, you know, like, we've entered a partnership. We've entered a marriage. We've entered a contract of truth and openness and hopefully, you know, all the things. So if we need to just 100% trust in the other person, that's not so much a partnership. That's a dictatorship. And I know that sounds harsh for something like this. But if we can't discuss it and we can't figure out and understand and see full circle, then it's your side versus my side. It's their side versus the other side.
But
it's,
understanding isn't going to make him share with his child if he feels like it's my child, I'm not sharing this information. Understand or not.
No, but right now it's not about that. It's about her not feeling comfortable with this. So regardless of how this goes down and where this ends up, she needs to fix something, whether it's with her, whether it's with her husband, whether it's with
the... She can only fix her.
Exactly. So that my whole point is that we need to figure out, she needs to figure out what needs to be fixed. Is it the communication between her and her spouse? Is it the secret and why the secret's being kept? Is it... You can ask all the questions, but at the end of the day, she needs to figure out why she's feeling this way.
Yeah. You know, when I talk to clients about stress or anxiety, I think both apply here. Stress and anxiety really points to a lack of faith. You don't find somebody who has full faith in themselves, the other person, God, the whatever. That's not a stressful or anxious place to be. Faith and stress don't coexist.
Right. Well, so also I doubt. Think,
right. You know, there's not faith and doubt. So I think where if you're super stressed or anxious about anything in your life, life hack here, start to examine where's the lack of faith and explore that and get real about it. So often what we feel on the surface really is fed by something much deeper. You know, like anger is a secondhand emotion. Anger you feel only after you're afraid first or hurt first, right? That's how it manifests and comes out and it's portrayed. But that's not the cause. Anger is a byproduct of something else going on.
That can usually be identified. Yeah, and usually you can identify this, yeah. which will identify why you're feeling this way. So what you're saying right now is exactly what she needs to do. She needs to identify the problem. What is causing her to feel this way?
It's triggering that secrets were kept from her as a child, or maybe something happened in a previous relationship where you know what I mean?
You never know. I mean, this whole, and again, we're just speculating and spitballing, and none of this is probably true, but this whole relationship and marriage could have started on a lie. You know, a lot do, you know, someone cheats on the other one and then they end up together. And then all of a sudden it's like, we've built our relationship on trust issues and lies, you know, which don't feel good to anyone. I'm not saying that's what the case is here. The case could be tens of thousands of things. I mean, the only point, though, to make is figure out, identify, find out why you're feeling this way and deal with it. And if you are having problems with this or anyone knows anyone having problems like this, hit up Julie at becomingheard.com or send her an email at becomingheardnow.com.
Becomingheardnow@gmail.com.
Sorry, thank you.
Yeah.
And she'll help you get to the bottom of your issues and help you live a better life and be free of this anxious, anxiety-ridden life we live.
Yeah, we have to control the controllable, which is you. The other aspect of this question, just to bring it back full circle, is the other home keeping secrets from you guys. It's not ideal, but what is ideal in a blended family? I think we have to stop idealizing things and having such huge expectations. Very rare does transparency exist between exes, between co-parents. So I think that you just have to understand that it's a normal situation and respect the child as far as not pumping. You know, we are so hungry for information when our kids or our stepchildren are in the other home because they're living half their lives maybe somewhere else, under someone else's influence, under someone else's impact, under someone else's interpretation of you. And it's very hard. And we don't like surprises. And so it would calm us down to know what's going on, what's being said, what's being done, what the kids are being exposed to. And so what often happens is the kids come back and you just want to pump them for information. And it comes from a really good place, right? It comes from wanting to actually calm our nervous system down. It comes from a really good place. It's very, very hard for the children to endure that line of questioning. They just want to simply be able to exist. They didn't ask for two homes. You know, they don't want to have to answer for what goes on in their other home, which they have no control of. And that's what it starts to feel like for children when you pump them for information because you feel like secrets are being kept or you don't know. They feel like it's up to them to answer for their other parent, and that's not their job. And that's too much to put on kids. And so if you really need to know what's going on, you can always try to communicate with the other parent. That rarely works, right? Because transparency doesn't usually exist between two homes. So I think this is something that you just have to accept and roll with and be understanding of, that it's just part of it. In custody orders, usually you have to disclose medical conditions about children. You have to disclose if you're going to move. In our custody agreement, you know, piercings and tattoos, you know, whatever. There are certain things that have to be disclosed between parents, usually in custody agreements. So outside of that, you can choose to let this stress you out and upset you, or you can choose to just understand this is pretty normal. Thoughts on that?
Just don't pump your kids. Your kids don't want to be pumped. why can't we come up with a better saying for that? It's just not right.
Pumping for information?
Just pumping.
So stupid. It's not a sexy word.
I didn't make it sexy. Neither is moist, but all of a sudden it became weird.
Oh my gosh. Here we are. Okay, moving on to question two. How do you, as the new spouse, get okay with your husband's ex being absolutely cruel to him when he won't even try your advice to stop it? I have suggested he only respond to messages about the kids and stop giving explanations for his answers. She will also bait him into fights when he tries to co-parent. She makes it seem like he's being ridiculous for asking, planning, or caring.
Oh, I laugh because we've all dealt with it.
Again, normal.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that eventually, you can tell him everything you want until you're blue in the face. You can yell at him. You can get in fights with him about it. But until he wants to quit and give up on his own, it's going to continue to happen. I mean, it's great you give him advice, but don't take it so far that it now becomes a fight between the two of you, because it's got to be something he wants to give up. And he hears you, and he knows you're right. The problem is, it is such a habit and such a pattern that has happened for so long with so many people. It's just a way of life.
Yeah, habit change is really hard. Yeah. It's what I do for a living, so if you're interested, reach out. But habit change takes time, and it takes practice. So anything you want to change, you have to practice. And so if you're a pitcher, just because you go outside and throw a baseball one day doesn't make you a pitcher, right? You have to go throw 1,000 curveballs, maybe 10,000, before it's just like natural and you have like a new habit. So I think that adjusting expectations and allowing time. Whenever I hear new spouse, I'm like, man, you're in the beginning. The beginning's really hard because people are trying to figure it out. It takes time to adjust. It takes time to be able to pattern change and habit change. And it takes time to even realize that it needs to happen. How many unhealthy patterns do we all engage in and we don't even realize it until one day we have an aha moment and then we're like, oh yeah, that doesn't serve me well. But you, in the meantime, it's been decades.
Well, and this is their way of communicating. You know, this is what they know about communication. This has been probably most of their relationship, or at least the last long while. And this is just how they communicate. This is what feels normal. Oh, don't respond to her about this or say it like this. Yeah, but you also know that if you do that, it's going to turn into something else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's gotta have time just to cool off, and over time it will. And then it doesn't happen overnight usually. It usually just, you get bored with it, she gets bored with it, and it just slowly just goes away. It doesn't mean it goes away forever. It might pop back up a little bit here and there, but one of you learn to manage it a little better than the other, and it just cools down.
Totally. And I'm remembering my early days in co-parenting. Everything upset me all the time. Everything upset me all the time. For years, everything upset me all the time.
What changed?
I was done being upset. I was so exhausted. I think for me, I was just so done with being upset all the time. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I'm done being upset. And I was ready to lay it down, but I think that's everyone's own personal journey, being ready to lay it down, being done being upset. And in the beginning of co-parenting, you know, what's really hard about that, and every co-parenting relationship goes through ages and stages, just like a person's lifespan, right? So you have the co-parenting that happens freshly separated. And then when the divorce papers are final, that kind of shifts things a little bit. And then when the other person starts dating someone, your co-parenting relationship shifts a little bit. And then when they move in or get married, it shifts a little bit. And so your co-parenting relationship has to, it evolves as you change your life. And I think we forget that we have to figure out how to co-parent when our circumstances change and changes our co-parenting relationship. Is this making sense? It makes sense in my head. I don't know if it's coming out.
Like, it always makes sense in your head.
I know, yeah. But does it make sense? Like,
it does.
So when you're newly married, the co-parenting relationship, again, is going to shift because there's going to be some sort of feelings about that and some sort of honor and respect now about your marriage that maybe didn't exist before. And maybe, so that adjustment between the two co-parents, they have to work that out. And I think that's just, again, they're going to be done fighting, like at some point. You know, one or both are going to be like, this is just, I'm done being, it might take years. It took me years. I don't know. Did you ever have to deal with stuff like that? When did co-parenting shift for you and how did it shift for you?
Probably, I don't know, year and a half in. Finally, I started just being like, I started recognizing the pattern, the behavior, the feelings, all of it. And I'm like, this is stupid. And I just started taking myself out of the equation unless it had to do with the kids. And the more you do that, and the more you make it just about the kids and not chit-chat about the kids, like actual things, actual schedule, actual events and things that need to be addressed, that's what needs to be talked about. Not, you know, like, oh, yeah, little Timmy had so much fun riding his bike today, you know, and that's what got sent to you. And you're like, cool. I don't need, like, great, thank you for telling me, but I don't need to respond to that because that's baiting me in to starting a conversation. Like, okay, like, great, I read that. Like, thanks for letting me know. Unless we have a good relationship and we're on good terms, like, cool, I'm not responding to that, though. Like, great, a little, you know, it was a little devotion for the day, you know, like, sweet, my kid did good today and had fun. Leave it at that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think that's such a sign of maturity, too, because...
I'm so mature, you guys. I am so mature. Look in my eyes.
You're
so
mature in a lot of ways. I think it's been interesting watching your co-parenting journey as an observer. It's taught me a lot in good, like, you, how you've handled things. You've always kind of led the co-parenting as far as, like, I look to you to see how you handle it, how you, it's like, what, WWED? What would Eric do? Because you've handled it so well, and you really have been super consistent in not respond. Like, I just, you're calm, you're collected, you don't really respond. You're still kind. I still hear kindness come through, and I think that's really special. My point is, I think a lot of people in the beginning are so used to negative bonding, right? Like, how you've been in a relationship with this other person was based on, like, negative bonding. Well, we fought, and then we made up, or
yeah, and then
whatever.
As soon as it goes to, like, we're completely separated, and now we have other people, or we have other people, but now we're separated, you know, depending on the order that you guys went, a lot of times more negative emotions build up then, too. So the beginning of the co-parenting is always probably the worst, you know, or a little ways in where you guys co-parented fine, but now another party becomes part of this, you know, now your ex started dating someone and it's like, oh, and then you see things change because, like we just heard, there's a second party now chirping in their ear.
I know nothing about this.
And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, am I co-parenting with the same person before? Because now
I'm co-parenting
the messages
with you,
are coming across differently. The tones are coming across differently. The thought process and the ideas are coming across differently. A lot of times you see it start to align with another party and it screws with you. You know, it screws with your process. It screws with the kids. You're like, wait a second. Like, we planned on it being like this and this worked out great for us. But now it's aligning with other kids and other schedules. You know, that doesn't really work with the way we had it planned. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that happens.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It happens. And so I think it's relearning how to, because the thing about co-parents is you are forever bonded over your children. Whether you like it or not, you know, there's nobody else on the planet who cares about your child remotely the same way you do as the other parent, the other bio parent. And step parents, this is no slight to you. I know step parents have such great relationships and such pure love for their stepchildren, and I don't take anything away from that. But biologically, responsible parties, you know, legal responsible parties of kids too. Like, it's just a little different, and that's okay. Doesn't take away anything from you as a step parent, but it's, you are bonded in that regard with your children's other parent forever. And I think that if you can how can we honor this bond except not through negativity, right? I think that is, it's relearning how to, like, it's okay to have this bond. It is what it is. And I don't want it to be clouded with negativity. But that, again, is a journey that everyone has to go through on their own. You know?
Yep.
I remember when you were saying the example of, like, if your ex was like, oh, Timmy rode the bike really well this morning or whatever, and you didn't respond. Something that I did early on that I got ridiculed, like, it was not received well as the bio parent co-parenting. I would, when the kids were with me, I would take pictures of what the kids were doing. So maybe Timmy riding a bike.
Yeah. Or
with his helmet on.
Or you're at the zoo or something, you know?
Yeah. They were having an experience and I would take a picture and I would text that picture to their father to be like, look what they're doing today. And he had to be like, stop sending me those. And I was like, it didn't make sense. And then I think it was just really hard for him to see because he was missing them. You know, you never get used to missing your children. And they were having experiences without him. And I think he felt like I was rubbing it in his face. Like, that's not my heart. Like, yeah, this is not my heart. I don't do that. That's not who I am. But I once I understood that even me sending a picture was hurtful on some level or was making it harder for him, when I was just like, I don't want you to miss out. Like, it sucks you have to miss out on half of their life. Like, here's what they're up to, you know? And I think, and But it's interesting how even something like as innocent as a picture of the children can get cause problems between co-parents.
I think I think it's just the co-parenting. I think it just depends on the parents and who they are. Because me and my ex did that for a while, you know, until the kids were old enough just to send pictures on their own. And it wasn't
it
every
still
day.
Happens.
And it wasn't. Yeah. I'm like, I literally just got
weeks ago.
Yeah. Like I just received homecoming pictures the other day, but I'm grateful for that. I take it differently probably than your ex does for whatever reason. He might have his own reasons. I have my own reasons, but I'm like, thank you. Like I'm stoked on that. Like that's a good thing. You know, I don't mind receiving pictures of my kids because I want to know whether they're with me or not. Like my kid's not with me right now because he's out with his buddies riding dirt bikes, you know, but I want him to send me pictures because I want, even though he's not with me doing it, I still like to know what they're up to and having a good time, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. I think the pitfall of co-parenting that I wish would change, and even in marriages, it's like, why are we always assuming the worst of the other person? Why are we so committed to misunderstanding or to just, it's our bias that we're shining in on their lives? Like, why are we so committed to misunderstanding our co-parent or thinking so committed to thinking the worst of our co-parent? You know, it's like, and I remember I shared this many, many podcasts ago and many, many posts on Instagram ago, but changing out the lens of being like, I'm dealing with my ex-husband or my ex-wife, changing out that lens to like, I am dealing with my children's father or mother. Like that deserves some reverence and respect and honor. Even if I don't have to like them, I don't have to agree with them, but like, why am I... It's so hard to have the ex-wife or ex-husband lens on because I do think then you co-parent totally committed to thinking the worst of them.
I think I ended up changing out lenses completely. I don't look at it as my ex or my kid's mother or anything like that. I just look at it as I'm dealing with just another person. It could be any other kid's person or a parent, and I'm just dealing with another person. You treat me nice, I'll treat you nice. You want to give me attitude, I'll give you attitude back, you know? And I don't like dealing with the attitude part of it. But when you said just a little while ago, maybe 10 minutes ago, that I deal with things nicely. I'm still nice about things.
You're way kinder than I am.
You know, that's because the way that I deal with it is just from a human standpoint. It's how I would deal with anyone. You know, it's literally, I don't care who you are, what our past is, it doesn't matter. Our past is our past. We are no longer bonded or connected in any type of way other than through our commonality, which is just our children. That's it. That's the only commonality we have. I have no idea what your routine looks like, your day-to-day looks like, your financial situation looks like, your health looks like, what you name it. I don't know because I don't care. And that's how I am with acquaintances. You know, you're not my person. You're not my people anymore. So I just treat you like a normal person. I treat you fine. Hopefully you treat me fine back. And that's all that matters. When we chat and have interactions, all they are is interactions. After that, I don't think about it anymore, you know? And that's what keeps me co-parenting like that.
Yeah. It's been very helpful. And I feel very lucky that I get to witness, I've gotten to witness your journey from pretty early on. You know, it's been really, really inspiring. And it took me years to take your lead too. Like I think that our listeners need to hear that. I'm being exposed as your friend. We were friends first, then we dated, then we got engaged, then we got married.
And over what, 12?
Yeah.
Year period?
Yeah.
11 year.
The exes lie and say that we had an affair.
Which is furthest from the truth.
Not true.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I didn't even know you when, I mean, I knew who you were. I'd met you, but we didn't even have any type of communication like until like way later, way, way later.
Yeah. It bugs me that this is lied about. the kids, I think on some level, think this, but, because this is what both sides tell them, and it's just not true.
Yeah, but going back to the original question, you know, or the original topic, these are the types of things that might be what she keeps, where she's like, I know this is a lie.
Oh, the secret topic, yeah.
And this, I mean, this eats at me, and this is...
Same.
These are the times, yeah, you know, same. And it's like... But you know what also is interesting, too, is like, again, it comes down to parenting. It comes down to the way that we communicate with our children, because I've never had to lie to my kids about that. My kids know the truth because they witness the truth.
Yeah.
So as we, as our kids get older, and say our kids are in their 30s, and they're all sitting around the dinner table, and this conversation, this topic gets brought up, whether your kids think that they have heard the truth, if my kids are sitting there, my kids will be like, well, we saw the truth. We know how this happened. We know when this happened, you know? Like, it's not like all of a sudden we just, wow, we just popped up into each other's lives, and, you know, it was like, wait, mom was just here yesterday. Now, who's this lady? You know, like, my kids 100% saw the progression of that.
Yeah. Well, and what cracks me up is that we were dating other people. Like, if we would have just jumped into an affair, there wouldn't have been anyone else. I'm like, it's just fun. Anyway, it doesn't, whatever. But I bring that up to say that I've gotten to observe your co-parenting as a friend first, when it was very tumultuous and very difficult, to now, to present day, and through all the ages and stages of our relationship evolving and your relationship with your ex evolving. And it's what I want our listeners to know is that even though I had a front seat and had that influence over me, which was wonderful, and I'm so grateful for it, it took me a long time to come around. And I think that that is something I want to normalize for our listeners, that just because you feel like you're co-parenting well with your co-parent and you're being a great example and you can do it, like, what's wrong with my spouse? Like, I don't understand. And it's something that grace of just understanding that you are having impact and influence, but it's in everyone's time, right? It's not in your time. It's in, well, we believe God's time, but I think everyone has their own timing for that. Do you know what I mean? Were you ever frustrated watching me co-parent in the beginning for years?
I still am.
You still are.
No.
But like, because you,
we deal with things differently. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you try to help. It's always in the best interest. You're always trying to help, like I just said, but it's just a lot of times it doesn't help. But yeah, you're going to be frustrated. I deal with things differently than you deal with things. I'm frustrated with things you do all the time because I would do them differently. I get frustrated with the way you drive home from church because I drive home differently. I'm like, wait, the way you do takes like 12 more minutes.
Last question, moving right along. I was just curious how you handle if your partner agrees to have scheduled time together and then his child says, let's watch the show with me every night, and he immediately agrees to that instead of following through with plans that he made with you. It feels like his child's needs are always more important, and that it makes her get quiet. So she feels always passed over, like he has the best of intentions to connect and to be with her, and then child wants to do something and he drops his fiance. They're actually engaged now. Okay. And living together. He yeah. drops his fiance for his child.
Yeah. Is that it? Are we leaving it at that?
Well, so she feels like the child's needs are always more important. And then what that does is it makes her get quiet and retreat. And then she's just like, I'm not important. And then she spirals to like, well, maybe I can't do this. And she's searching for answers why it's this way. And she's just having a really, really hard time. Like, do I stay? Do I go? What do I do with this? Because it's just, this is a pattern that has shown up from dating to now they're engaged and living together.
Well, and the thing is, you know, this isn't going to go away. I mean, we've been married for how long now? We're together. I know, like, I don't really connect with you at all on Mondays and Tuesdays because the kids are always there. You know, like, those are kids' days. Your day revolves around that, around the kids. You know, I'm sure you'll say the same thing about me. Like, I've got lots of plans, you know, with the kids. usually if you and I plan on something, I'm very, very, because I know how I feel about this. I feel like she feels a lot of times. I feel like if I'm going to change plans or something comes up, I check in with you about it. You're very easygoing, you know, where you're just like, oh, it doesn't matter. I feel like I've tried to be very aware of it. But this is a real feeling. I think that you are not alone in this. I think that I'd say 90% of blended families deal with this in one way, shape, or form. You know, whether it's the kids feeling like that about the parent. Oh, the other, you know, me and dad had plans today, but then my other parent came home and had something else planned, and now dad's bailing and doing
dad
something
else. Dad chooses his wife over me.
Yeah, you hear it from you hear it from all sides.
Yep.
I think it's a very normal thing. It's not a good thing. I don't have good advice on it. Maybe you do. You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because yeah, I'm like I
wanted to hear your perspective. I had answered her privately on this question, but I was super interested to hear what your thoughts were.
Yeah, a lot of times that's just the way that it goes. I mean, it just, you know, I hear this from my own kid. I hear this, you know, like, "Oh, well, we, you know, and you know, we planned to do this, but now she's home and you're going to go do this." I've heard it growing up, you know, or him growing up and through our relationship, and it's like, "Wait, you know, look, bud, I'm not bailing on you. I'm just, you know, I'm pushing it out 10 minutes, 15, 30 minutes, you know, like we're still going to do this or whatever." Like I said, you're very easygoing on these types of things where if I change up something, you know, I'll always check in with you, but it doesn't really matter. It's not like I'll check in with you. And if it is something important, like, okay, we're going to go through with this. But if it's like, oh yeah, we're going to do this for a little while, it doesn't matter. You'll be like, all right, cool. You know? So we deal with it a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and I think for you and me, it's interesting because, like, literally I have my kids half the time, 50%.
Right.
Dad wants them just like I want them, right? Yeah. And your situation's just always been a little bit different. You've always had your son more than half the time, even when it was scheduled half the time, and now you have him full time. So it's different that if I'm going to do something and I want the kids included, it has to be on certain times and days,
right?
Because I don't have the luxury of having access to my kids full time and being able to connect with them full time. So that is an added layer of complication in this subject where it's like, I so appreciate your grace and understanding that with that, I don't pretend that's easy for you. And I certainly have felt that way too early on, you know. I too have felt, because she uses the word alone, she feels alone. And she has kids who live at home too with them. She feels alone. And I'm like, yeah, it's interesting. I think that's a normal feeling in blended families that you feel alone in it at times, even though you're married and even though you're surrounded by all these kids. In all the chaos, it is a lonely place to exist. So what I wrote to her, I wrote her three things. I had three thoughts. My first thought is that ages and stages are temporary. So just because it's like this with a child now, I promise you eventually this child will grow up and not be interested in the type of relationship that maybe they have with their father. You know, it's good. They're going to grow and evolve. The relationship with the dad is going to grow and evolve, even if nothing changes on dad's end, because dad has habits around how he deals with his child. And if he doesn't want to change it or doesn't feel like he should, he's not going to. But know that even if nothing changes on his end, child is going to grow up, have interests, date, move out, go to college. Like, ages and stages of children and relationships with parents are temporary. And I think that's the first thing that we have to, like, understand, you know, as a step parent.
Well, and they don't always align. They don't always align with the other parent. Like, we're getting to a place where, you know, my son and I still really enjoy doing things. My daughter lives on the other side of the country. Your son's away at college, way upstate. And we're now at a place where, you know, usually it would be like, all right, well, you do your thing with your kids, I'll do my thing with my kids, you know, whether it's together or not. But now it's like, my kid's got other plans. He doesn't want to hang out. He wants to do other things. You know, you're still doing your things with your daughter. I'm like, over the last few years, like, it's almost forced me into like, okay, well, what can I do? Because you said you feel alone. Like, I get that. I've almost become a workaholic. I'm like, I work a shit ton, you know, which is cool. I'm like, I'm super successful now because all I do is pour into my business, you know, and work and all my projects. But yeah, again, it's like there's stages, you know, but the sad part about that is throughout this, you know, you're losing a lot of connection. You're losing a lot of intimacy, connection, getting to know one another, you know, you name it, you know, it's like all of a sudden, and I'm sure she would appreciate this. I'm like, you feel like roommates. You feel like, all right, well, now I have a roommate in the house, you know, and these other kids that you're doing whatever for. And all of a sudden it's like a house full of roommates, you know?
Yep. But it's all temporary and it's not ideal, right? Like I get that none of this is ideal. None of this is how we would want it to happen in a perfect world. I don't think that her fiance is like, oh, this is an ideal situation and I am so happy too, right? Because he probably feels the pressure of her judgment and disappointment and, you know, whatever about that. But it's like,
in those times you lose connection too. So now like you're just completely disconnected. You don't know where each other is. She feels alone and she said that she gets quiet. There's disconnect right there, you know? And now it's like, well, what's wrong? What's going on? You know, what's the matter? All the questions, you know, and it takes a long time for that to warm back up and that connection to grow again, you know? So you now all of a sudden you're in these cycles of these highs and these lows and then these highs and then these lows, you know, and that just, where is the relationship in that?
There's, I read this in my daily devotional and I wrote it down on, and I was like, I got to make a post about this later. So this idea of intimacy, and they're talking about like intimacy with God, right? Like not sexual intimacy or like it's more of just intimate relationships in general. And there was a great definition for intimacy is in to me see.
Yeah, you're just now hearing this.
Yeah, I what? Never read
You've
that before.
You've been going to church since you were a kid.
In to me see? What? I've never heard that. But I think that that's it. It's like we don't see each other. We're so distracted maybe with the kids and it doesn't mean that we don't have to give the time and attention, but it is acknowledging the other person as well and seeing them even in the midst of having to show up for the children. It's a really hard space. And so also with this, before we get into my second response or my second thought on this is, you know, I think we all have to really gut check ourselves. Like, is this worth me dealing with this for the next foreseeable future? It's going to come to an end, right? Ages and stages are temporary. Can I be okay? Is this worth me sticking around for the other side of this ditch?
Well, and then you don't know what the other side looks like. You know, you're like, did this last? Did this grow? What's the other? And it's all a gamble.
It's faith.
I mean, yeah, but we're now putting faith into one another. You know what I mean?
Well, like into, no, you can have faith that God is going to redeem what is broken. You can have faith that there is a reconnection. You have faith that this commitment, you know, isn't all for naught, that there is something greater here, you know, than this temporary age and stage. You can have faith that this relationship is made for something more.
So what's your advice to her then?
Well, my second thought, well, that was my first thought, okay. Right? She has to know that ages and stages are temporary. Adjustment takes time. They just are newly moved in.
Yeah.
Newly engaged. This is very beginning. Starting. Baby, yeah. Baby.
I'm like, you and I are, what, 11, 12 years into this, you know?
But adjustment takes time. Learning each other takes time. I think everyone is really well-intentioned and it just takes time. He might really want to change some things about his relationship with his daughter to appease you or to accommodate you or to help the relationship. But even when you want change, it doesn't happen overnight. It just takes time. And we don't get to dictate how much time it should take for someone. Like, I think that too. It's like, well, I'm going to give you till, you know, like you have to do what's right by you. And then you make a choice for you. But as far as you having an expectation that they're going to change in a certain amount of time, I think you have to let go of that. Right? Like, you don't get to dictate someone's timeline.
Some people do.
The third thing that I thought about when I read this was that most people quit too soon. That's what I will say about marriage and blended families with the high divorce rate. I think most people quit too soon. And I think if you are feeling like, first of all, let's normalize the desire to give up.
Well, that goes back to that timeline thing, though. What's the timeline then? How long do you know? How long?
Okay, I can tell you.
Okay, go.
So I think that if you're at peace with leaving, the time is right. Like, okay. If you're like, I'm done, it's over, I don't want anything more about this, and inside you feel at peace about that, the timeline's probably good to go. But if you're like just feeling like you won out because this is really hard and I feel alone, and then you're like, and I'm going to be done, but you're not at peace with that, like true peace, then I think you're giving up too soon. And I think that peace is a really good litmus test. But I think, you know, so that's my litmus test for like wanting to give up. Also, like I said, can we normalize wanting to give up? It's okay to want to give up. It's what you do about it that matters. But it's normal. Are you even in a blended family if you don't want to throw in the towel at some point?
Or every day.
Or every minute. Yeah. Okay, just got to get to the next minute. But that's it, right? And so I just think that asking yourself, am I at peace? Like when you want to feel like you're going to throw in the towel and it's over because this is too hard and I feel so bad and I feel so alone and I feel all of these things, and you think about leaving, does peace wash over you? That's a great question to ask yourself. And I think you always have to reflect, like, did I give it enough time? Am I 2 weeks in and want to quit already? You know, or am I 12 years in and I want to quit? That's a long time. Okay, I've given it enough time. You know, I think you have to ask yourself some really important questions. And listen, there's no judgment here. Everyone has to answer these questions for themselves and explore for themselves. But when I read, those are my three thoughts on this topic. Anything you want to add or?
No, I think I added my two cents. I just, you know, it's normal. I, you know, not that it needs to be normal, but I think that 90% of people or 90% of blended families deal with this.
Yeah.
One way, shape or form, whether it's the kids or the parents.
Yeah. It feels like you're sometimes always sacrificing one relationship for the other because there's also parent guilt, right? Like if you do choose your spouse, then you're like disappointing your kid. That never feels great. It feels like you're in blended families. It really can feel like you're always disappointing someone.
Yeah, constantly.
And that's hard to always be a disappointment to someone that you love so much and care about so much. It's hard. It's a hard place to be on. On that happy note, I think that's all the questions we have for today.
Okay. Well,
thanks, you guys.
Yeah.
If you need somebody to talk with or walk the journey of step parenting or blended life, I would love the opportunity to speak with you one on one and be able to see if I can be of service and just help guide you on this journey to being your best self, to finding peace in the chaos, to taking control of your experience. Reach out. becomingheard@gmail.com is my email. You can always go to my website, becomingheard.com, and sign up for a free breakthrough session. I also do weekly newsletters, weekly emails that I give tips and tricks and share my heart. And it can be an encouragement to you every week. It's free. You can sign up on my website for that or reach out and I can add your email to my email list and you can be encouraged every Monday. Also get access to some pretty cool specials and deals and just new things that are coming up in our coaching program. So I would love to hear from you guys. Reach out, comment below on this video if you're watching, or on Spotify. Can they comment on our podcast?
Anywhere that allows you to.
Comment, like, subscribe.
There you go. All right, you guys. Well, thank you for being here with us, with our blended family, to yours. And we hope to hear you from, we hope to be with you next week, whatever that means.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Hey, it's Julie again. I hope this episode of Blended Life started a conversation that you will finish in your home. But I get it, right? Sometimes you need more. My offer still stands. If I can interest you in a free one-on-one breakthrough session with me to see if coaching is right for you, contact me now at becomingheardnow@gmail.com and let's get you unstuck. becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I look forward to it.